Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Getting to the conclusion of our running back tiers, talking about basically the few top windows here. So I've got three-year windows, two-year windows, and those are two-year windows of guys on second contracts. So that is basically the older guys, right? Without calling them older, they're older. Then you have two-year windows, starters on first contracts, right? Those are the younger guys. And starters in a one-year contract, you know, one-year window right now in terms of security, I hearken back to this. And again, these things can change, right? So if Nick Chubb tomorrow were to sign an extension that was, you know, a couple of years and guaranteed money in the second and third year, right, then we would change the window, right? But this is the Marlon Mack thing, right? The Marlon Mack injury situation is why I am particularly conservative about these things. Do I think Nick Chubb's going to fail out of the NFL? I don't. But if he were to go down and have a torn ACL in week three, that is going to change his value a lot, right? So I do think thinking about these things and paying for an extra year of security might make some sense, right? That's kind of what we're talking about here. So, one of the questions was, well, how do you use these, right? Well, I think you think about, one of the things we continuously talk about, and I continuously look at players in, is trying to arbitrage them, so, right? Trying to arbitrage situations. Who's a one-year starter? Well, how can we go to a two-year starter for cheaper, right? Isn't a guy that's locked into a couple-year deal is cheaper? Give you a good example. Nick Chubb, running back 8. David Montgomery, running back 20. One of them has 1 year on his contract. The other one has 2. And so, you know, that's an arbitrage up in terms of security. Is David Montgomery the same level player as Nick Chubb? No. Is David Montgomery going to draw as much in the open market if he's healthy as Nick Chubb? Probably not. But he is 2 years younger and is significantly cheaper. And, you know, those are the types of situations I think we need to be attuned to, right? So the Nick Chubb pivot is something that I'm going to consider. And it's interesting the disjointed nature of David Montgomery's value versus Chubb's value, considering where they finished last year. I know Nick Chubb missed time, but David Montgomery finished as running back 4 and as running back 20 in our early RDP. Is that going to change? Maybe. Will it go down when rookies get incorporated? Maybe. Right. So, but it is a spread, right? That is a 24 spot spread in terms of draft position. That's a couple rounds, and you know, what's the value of that? If you were to go from 3rd to 5th round, what do you get in a startup draft trade? Is that a first? It might be tough in an existing league, but I think thinking along those lines is right, right? So that's kind of what I would think about in terms of some of these deals. And again, once MFL rolls over and you get 2022 picks involved, right, that's something that might make these trades a little easier. And one thing that's really difficult in this window is trading for rookie picks, because people start attaching names to them. And I'd caution attaching names to wide receivers at this point. One of the things I found in the 2021 edition, I basically looked at February ADP and compared it to year-long ADP. And basically, if you have a running back in the first round of ADP right now, it's really high. I think it was 80, it might even be close to 100% of them finish the entire the entire season. And I measure it from, you know, when rookie drafts basically commence through August, right? Any rookie drafts that even lingered, 80%+ of them are in May, or, you know, 3 to 6 weeks after the NFL draft, right? That's sort of the prime window for them. You know, I guess 24 hours after through 6 weeks after, right? Those are 80%+ of the rookie drafts, but I incorporate basically the whole year just because, you know, if you get a little bit of movement, it does, I think, impact a rookie's value to some degree. And it's tough to sort of segment them out when you're measuring for an entire year of ADP. So needless to say, wide receivers right now attaching names to picks is dangerous because there is a fall there, right? About, I think, 46% of them in February end up being year-long first-round rookie picks. Again, that's start one data. So if you're looking at Superflex, you know, incorporate, you know, 4 or 5 quarterbacks in there. And so you're looking something in the top 16, 18, right? If that is kind of what we're measuring right now, and you're saying, hey, there's a wide receiver in here, think of them about being a coin flip about whether that's going to be true at the end of the season. Think about guys like Hakeem Butler. Think about guys like Auden Tate, right? We don't have to go back that far to come up with really good names on some of these guys that just fell through the floor and ended up not being first round draft picks. So, so I've just cautioned you on that. A way to incorporate more upside and a way to sort of get out of that mind rut that people are in is to trade from a year out. And that's something I think has very high upside, right? So that's one thing I think you can think about, because now it'll become tougher to trade players for players and a pick this year because people start thinking about the names. So, just remember, even if it's a little bit later, like, you still have the liquidity of being able to move up and down the board with that pick. So, all right, well, that's enough of rookie draft strategy. So that is the thing that I would think about. So guys that are on one-year windows, Austin Eckler I don't think this is going to happen, but if he were to get hurt again, he's a potential cut candidate in 2022. Like I said, if he plays well, I don't think he will. But again, I'm taking kind of that pessimistic view on these, right? Taking kind of a conservative look at these, not conservative in the political sense, but, you know, a risk averse strategy, right? So that's, I have him in this window. If you gun to my head, Jordan, do you think he's really going to get cut after a year? Probably not. But if week, you know, 8 comes around and he's got a sprained MCL, and we're like, oh, like, he's going to be out like 6 to 8 weeks. Like, man, like, that's not going to feel good. That's kind of what I'm guarding against here, right? So I think it's probably a couple of years, but on the downside, like, it could be this year. So that's the cautionary note with him. Melvin Gordon, again, on a one-year deal. They might extend him out, try and massage some of his contract stuff. It's not cuttable. I looked at the numbers. Like, I guess technically he could be cut, but there was numbers in for this year that make it illogical to cut him. So, again, he finishes running back 13. So if you need a fix, you know, if you need someone to come in, and I hesitate to do this early in the offseason, but to, quote, fill a need, he's one that maybe in rookie drafts, you slide down a few picks, you pick up a share of Melvin Gordon, right? That's, I think, an interesting one. Price, not outrageous. Melvin Gordon in a third for Mike Williams. Melvin Gordon for Miles Gaskin, Jamal Williams, and a third, right? Not outrageous. None of those are super expensive. So, just some other ones here. Melvin Gordon and Michael Gallup for Cooper Kupp. A third for Melvin Gordon. Again, talk about, like, just buying off the scrap heap. I'm all in on those, right? Give me that third, right? One I might not do is DJ Shark for Melvin Gordon. A couple of seconds for Melvin Gordon. That's probably closer to it. You know, Devin Duvernay, a third and a fourth for Melvin Gordon. Yeah, we're doing that, right? So he's one that I would absolutely kick the tires on if you're just looking for some, hey, how do I bake in a little upside, right? Get a little bit more depth. But, hey, I mean, let me take someone that's got top 15 upside. And, yeah, I can pay a couple thirds for him. Like, yeah, even if it's in a one-year window, right, you kind of like that. So, especially if you're contending. So that would be a player that I would absolutely look towards in terms of just kicking the tires on his, because he's again, you get to a certain age and no one cares anymore, and they're just sort of whistling past the graveyard in terms of production. So he's a player that I think certainly fits that model. So I would kick the tires on him if you're in the need for some running back. I wouldn't sell him for, you know, I wouldn't sell him for like a late second, right? That you just kind of hold on at that point. So, that would be on him. And again, that's a 1 year window. So you think about that, right? You think about these guys, and when you break it down, you're like, all right, would I pay a couple thirds for a 1 year window and start it? Yeah, I think I would. So that's him. Okay. It's 2 year windows, guys, on first contracts. So Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, and David Montgomery. David Montgomery is the most recently high productive. I think Miles Sanders is the sexier name of the two of them, and has been so largely since rookie drafts. You get to this point, and he is going basically a half round and three picks earlier. There's no way that's right to me, right? Absolutely the right answer is David Montgomery. Both of them have hit twice to start their career. Might actually make Miles Sanders a little bit undervalued when you look at his dynamic density, 71% for another hit, 64% for David Montgomery. Again, I would take David Montgomery pretty clearly over Miles Sanders at this point, just because I have a lot of concerns about Miles Sanders, and I'm not – he's a player that I'm probably going to pivot out of where I have him, which isn't very much of. Saquon Barkley is also in this one too. Again, do I think he's going to be a long-term play? Yes, but if 2021 looks anything like 2020 or 2019 for him, we're probably – in a much different value consideration, right? So he's at running back two and essentially has not been hurt by the fact that he has been hurt for the last 18 months. So yeah, I mean, and I talked about this in a tweet that created a little bit of a firestorm when I just said, yeah, the market isn't discounting him based on his injuries. It's discounting the hell out of Michael Thomas. Why? Right. Again, I get that there's reasons why, and I'm not saying that they're wrong, but I think it warrants thinking about. Right. And so is that Michael Thomas being is that Michael Thomas being at the wrong price? Is it Saquon Barkley being a little bit too rich? I'm not sure. Right. But that's, I think, a situation certainly to consider for sure. All right. So some of the other ones here. So Alvin. So going into 2 year windows. Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Zeke, and Joe Mixon. So 2023 is really the first time that makes sense to cut Joe Mixon. So again, is he an aggregator type? He's going ahead of David Montgomery, which is kind of amazing. Zeke, again, he's a potential cut in 2023, but the big savings really come in 2024. So that's, he doesn't have any guarantees after this year, but cutting in 2023 doesn't make a ton of sense. That kind of puts him more towards a three-year window. Again, is it possible? Yeah, so that's why I put him here. You could potentially do it if he sort of stinks up the joint. Five hits to date. He's going on age 26. Sometimes we're getting too cute by half when we have someone at running back 14 with that. When you sort of look at Derrick Henry, also in this range. He's going seven running backs ahead of Zeke Elliott, and he is going 16 spots ahead of Zeke, right? So there's an interesting spot there. He's a potential cut after 2022, big savings in 2023. Again, I don't suspect that's going to happen, but I think we need to consider that. Dalvin Cook is an interesting one, potential cut, and Kamara, both potential cuts in 2023, so you got a couple-year window. And Dalvin Cook, his offensive coordinator retired, right? Gary Kubiak retired. What does that change for the offense? Not sure, but I think that's anytime something changes like that, I think you need to just keep an eye attuned to it. That would be one of the things that I would just keep in mind here, right? So it's interesting when you see the difference between these five guys, Kamara running back three, Dalvin Cook running back four, Derrick Henry running back seven, Zeke Elliott running back 14, Joe Mixon running back 19. I think if you're looking for some running back help, exploring the Zeke Elliott, Joe Mixon angle makes a lot of sense. And I think you can pivot a bunch of different ways to Zeke, right? You can go up to Zeke, you can go down to Zeke. So one of the ways that I would think about it is J.K. Dobbins for Zeke plus, right? What's the plus? Is the plus, can you get a first rounder? Can you get something equivalent to that? Can you add on to it to make it a first rounder? I think that's interesting. Zeke for Miles Sanders. Zeke for a first, which is in a start one. So again, you're already putting him, if that's not a top like three pick, that's already a disaster. And it is, let's see here. It is, looks like a middle of the round first. So that's already a loss, right? That's not a good, that wouldn't be what I would do. Zeke Pollard and a third for Justin Herbert, Chase Claypool and a third in that start one. Again, like, where's the league winning upside in this whole scenario? Where is it? If it's on the Zeke side. And I get that's not particularly sexy at this point. Tyler Johnson in a first for Deonta Johnson, Zeke, Dallas Goedert, and a second. And so that is super flex. So let's see. That might be a high pick as I'm just checking on this. And it is, yeah, it's up there. It's like a top two or three pick. So I guess I get that to some extent. I get why that deal is made. Judy and Ruggs for Zeke. I mean, come on, Zeke for a third. That's got to be a contract league. That's outrageous. James Robinson and Diggs for Zeke and Galladay, right? That one's, you say, okay, like James Robinson could be in a three-year window, right? That's interesting. Sterling Shepard and Zeke for Joe Mixon and Josh Reynolds. Zeke's very traded too. He's of the guys that I've talked about basically in all of the trades that I've mentioned this year. Zeke's like the most traded person. Again, there hasn't been a ton of trades in the offseason last year. I remember like people that were highly, highly traded were like two trades per day. These are like one trade per day. And that's a lot, right? That is a lot, because you might see like 12 trades dating back to like December for a player. Zeke has 12 trades dated back in the last like 20 days. So you're getting a lot of movement on him. So he's absolutely a player I'm focusing on in the trade market. You know, I really think having a good case here on him is interesting. So pivoting, how do we pivot? And he might be one that I do a full show on. But I do think, you know, being creative on ways to pivot to and from him. So if it's pivoting down, right? Is it Nick Chubb for Zeke plus, right? I think that's something we should consider. What's that plus? You know, if it's right now, it is basically a round difference in terms of startup valuation. Is that a first a year out? That's something that would be really, really interesting. Right. You know, is it J.K. Dobbins to Zeke? Right. Is that, what type of gap is that? It's five running backs. So it's not a huge gap. But I think the you know, when you stack up their dynamic densities, they're the same. Right. And I think if you say, all right, which guy's going to hit next year? Right. It's probably a lot more likely it's Zeke than J.K. Dobbins, just because you have some, you know, we don't know the full extent of J.K. Dobbins' upside. Right. We know what it is with Zeke. I mean, let's be honest about Zeke Elliott for a second here. Five top 12 seasons, and he finished as running back 9. That's through 5 years. Okay, what exactly are we running away from? I don't know. And he's running back 14. So, seller beware at that cost would just be my concern. Can he get hurt? Yeah. Can he go sort of off the rails? I don't see where he's going, right? If he blew out his knee tomorrow, he's going to probably be the 2022 starter for the Dallas Cowboys. And I just think that is a very cautionary bailing opportunity. So, all right. So the Zeke focus of the show is done. And then you go up to the 3-year guys, right? So guys that are in 3-year windows. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back 12. Josh Jacobs, running back 11. Christian McCaffrey, running back 1. Gibson, running back 13. Actually, and these are ranked in terms of dynamic densities, by the way. So DeAndre Swift, running back 6. I think I said Antonio Gibson, running back 13. He's actually ahead of those other guys. So again, that's we're just talking base rates. They're not all that intelligent, right, in terms of knowing the specifics on these players. But it's interesting that a hit from a round 3 guy will actually put you on a better, more likely track of hitting than a round 2 guy, which is interesting. Let's see. Jonathan Taylor's in there as well. He's running back 5. James Robinson is running back 16. Again, that base rate I'm not certain on. It's 55%. I'm not sold because the sample is so small of UDFAs. Although I would say he did it as a rookie, so I think you really tilt towards the higher end upside of that. But I'll just We've seen it way too many times. A coaching change with a low pedigree guy. Oh, man, it's just a risky situation. So, and then Dobbins and Akers sort of round out the bottom of that tier. They're 9 and 10. So, again, the outliers in this situation are James Robinson at 16, which I sort of get the discount on, right? And I would have him after Zeke in terms of my priorities, so I understand that one. And then Antonio Gibson is 13, right? So what's Dobbins to Gibson, right? That's an interesting one. What's the gap between Swift and Gibson? I like Swift a lot more than I like Gibson, but I think exploring that one's interesting. What's the gap between Swift and Jacobs, right? I don't think that gap is that much, and if it's going to be a first-round draft pick, that's really, really interesting in terms of just arbitraging profiles against one another. That's a really interesting one. Might be even more for Josh Jacobs to Jonathan Taylor. Right? That's a huge. That might be a huge difference in terms of valuation. Dobbins to Jacobs, right? I like Jacobs over Dobbins. I like Jacobs over Akers. In this group, if I sort of had to rank these guys, again, I probably would have other guys up above Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I wouldn't, you know, I would have Kamara and Cook and Zeke, I think, again, and probably Henry too, up above a couple of these guys, James Robinson in particular, right? So these aren't just linear. They're tiers meant to sort of think about, you know, lenses, and then you can sort of adjust from there. So again, you can have Zeke ahead of James Robinson. It's not meant to sort of be, you don't do that as a rule. Like, you just have to think about what window you're looking at, right? A lot of the stuff from the first chapter of the book was looking at things through different windows. And this is sort of the framing of the window that we should be looking through for these guys. So, you know, that 2-2-2, the 2 years, 2 months, 2 weeks thing. I think that arbitraging that tier is really interesting because there's a lot of insulation there, and you might be able to do that, right? If you have 10 leagues, right, and you sort of have, just pick Dobbins in five and Edwards-Helaire in five, right? Like, you could probably trade back and forth between those leagues and accumulate just based off some of the natural variation in player value between leagues. You know, if you basically flip Dobbins in five of the leagues for Edwards-Helaire in the five leagues you don't own him and just kept the ownership, right, you can probably accumulate a lot of assets on top of that just from some different variations in the market. So that would be something I would really think about doing, right? I want to keep my ownership or my roster percentage of DeAndre Swift at 25%, and I want to keep my roster share of Josh Jacobs at 25%. But like, how do we sort of use those profiles to sort of trade amongst each other and trade in multiple different places, right? Hey, I can trade Swift at a huge profit in this league and then try and trade him back and you know, acquire him in some other leagues. Thinking things like that, I think it's super valuable in this tier because you can really add on across your portfolio a lot of different assets. So that would be something I'd be definitely looking at doing in these upper tiers, and that first tier in particular. I think there's a lot of fun things that you can really try and do in that tier. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, trying to break down these things. Again, I'm getting super geeky in terms of arbitraging some of these guys. That's really going to be the February thing to do for me is, you know, once MFL rolls over, get some flexibility on picks and all that stuff too. Everyone's renewed, all that stuff. It's going to be a really, really fun offseason. So I'm really, really looking forward to this offseason. So I did throw some highlights and stuff in the in this, that's not supposed to be comprehensive, but sort of as I look through things and I see guys that are target players, you know, listen to this thing first, and then of course listen to the podcast first, which you are listening to, and then think about as I sort of talk about some of these guys, I'm maybe throwing in some some notes and throwing in some adjustments in terms of some coloring and stuff like that, just on the cost and stuff. So those would be things I'd just pay some attention to there. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.